Radio Africana.
Song of ages to the land, and all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the land. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands.
Morning, top of the morning to all our listeners. You're welcome to
another edition here on Morning to You, and you're tuned into Radio Africana. I hope you've had a lovely week in the past, and it's a pleasure to be with you once again. Right, Father, we want to just thank you once again for the privilege that is called today. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness. We just want to commit our session unto you. As always, we anticipate that there will be a great move as we glean the scriptures, and we ask for the presence of your Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to open our hearts, to bring us to a place of understanding as we journey in the revelation and insight that your word will bring. We want to remember our listeners who are not with us today, whatever reason, wherever they are. Lord, we ask that you will be with them, meet them at the point of their needs, whatever it is the desire of you. Lord, I pray that you will heal. I pray that you will restore. I pray that you will give them that desired breakthrough, that which they anticipate. And at the end of it, all of us, having looked at our journey and our walk with you, will have reasons to give you praise, spontaneous praise, for the things that only you could have done. This we ask of you, and we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Good morning, lovely people, and welcome to another edition of Morning Dew. Okay, yes, we're trying to round up our series. We've been a long series, Walking with the Lord. I think the last session we really looked at the importance of getting right teaching, the importance of God. You know, he said without the word was nothing made that was made. So the importance of the word of God, which is God's change agent in bringing change, you know, transformation, and the kind of things we'll be looking at extensively. We're going to talk about growth and maturing in Christ. Our key scripture for some time has been Ephesians chapter 4, you know, and I think we're just revolving around a couple of verses. And we started Ephesians chapter 4 from verses 11, but we're looking at 13. It says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So we focus a lot on the knowledge of the Son of God, why that's important, and that's why you need sound teaching. And we try to emphasize the importance of making sure that except our own righteousness, the Bible says, exceeds that of the Pharisees, then we will not come to the knowledge of the truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. So we're coming, the Bible talks of the knowledge of the Son of God. So who is the personality of the Son of God? That's what we're coming into. And to perfect man, to the measuring of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that's the goal. It's a three-phase goal. We come into unity in the faith, we come into the knowledge of the Son of God, which we talked about extensively, and into a perfect man. You know, several times you find the scripture, it talks about be ye perfect as I am perfect, you know, be ye holy as I am holy. And it's very important. It's something I've been reading and studying for some time, and I really hope that maybe we'll find time to look at it. When we're talking about growing and maturing and coming to the knowledge of the Son of God, and then moving on to perfection, moving on to being holy, we recognize that these are, you know, lofty goals we desire to, but it will take much more than desire to arrive at perfection and holiness, you know, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I think one of the things when you study the scriptures, particularly I think it's Romans chapter 7, if I'm not mistaken, from about 15 to 20, it talks about the things that I know to do. When it comes to doing, I find that I do something contrary, you know, and very interesting, you know. So it's not just enough of having head knowledge in the things that are right. It's also coming to be able to do what is right, and then begin to understand ourselves, begin to understand who we are in Christ Jesus, and why that makes much of a difference. I think, let me see if I can just pop into Romans so that I can clarify what it is I'm trying to pass across here, you know. So sometimes we read the scriptures and it's not the way we learn, you know, everything else, you know. It's an experiential, you know, an encounter with a personality who is called the truth, you know. Right, so Romans chapter 7, and I was talking about verse 15. It says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. Imagine that. For what I am doing, I do not understand. This King James, for what I will do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. So there's a conflict straight away there. You know, there are things we want to do, there are things we desire to do, there are things we might study and we have been instructed, this is what you need to do. So you know it, you've studied, you've learned it, you have knowledge of it. Great. Now let's come to the doing bit. And then it goes on here, it says, I begin to find that I don't have understanding. You know, verse 16 says, and if then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. So even when I do what's not right, I'm agreeing with the law of God that it is true and it is good. But what am I doing? I'm, you know, in contradiction of the teachings of the law, you know, right? And we said earlier on here, I think it was Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, when you look from 19 again down to 48, we talked about that last week, and the teaching Jesus was giving, that except your righteousness, okay, which is that gift of God. Righteousness is not an ability of your own, it's a gift of God when you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So except your own righteousness, okay, exceeds that of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So these were people that were knowledgeable about the law, they were knowledgeable about the things that the scripture wrote about, but when it came to doing things, they were literally doing things. There was no love, they didn't even know when the master came, they were completely off track. So it's not enough to have head knowledge, and that's the point I'm trying to explain here. And even when we do have the knowledge, like Romans is telling us here in chapter 7, it says, if I do what I will not do, okay, I agree that the law is right. So you do agree with the law, but then you are doing something contrary. 17 says, but now if it is, verse 17, now this is very important, it says, but now it is no longer I who does it, but sin that dwells in me, okay? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there's nothing good there. You know, you hear things like the heart of man is desperately wicked, there is no good thing within the heart of man, and it's like a condemnation. So which heart of man does God work with? The one that is renewed, the one that's inspired by the Spirit of God, the one that has come to recognize the gift of God, the grace of God, and God's ability to work in and through us in spite of our fallen nature. And so that's something a lot of Christians need to get their head around when we're talking about coming into perfection. It's not something you can desire to do. It's not something you can will to do. It's not by your power. It's not by your might. And I think that's where a lot of people struggle. They read the word of God like every other, you know, writing, and want to take it literally. There's more to it than that. There's what you're reading. There's the information. There's your personality, how you relate to the word of God, and how you can take that on board and to be able to walk in faith. The just shall live by their faith. So verse 17, Romans chapter 7 is telling us, but now it is no longer I who does it, but sin. So you need to come to that, you know, very, very important factor, that there is sin operating in you as a result of the world in which you are living. Okay, the Bible says be in the world but not of the world. So the influence, the impact of sin will definitely affect us. And that's because even before we came to give our lives to Christ, we lived in the world. We got our instructions from the world. We learn the way the world teaches us. We go to the world system. You understand what I'm saying? So a lot of the ways you've learned things has been informed by your environment, by your culture, by your tradition, by the way you were brought up. And I can go on and on. Baby see, baby do. Even kids don't go to a special school, but look at them, they do things that are not right. So we can see that. But sometimes we see that, we don't pause to understand, okay, that's what that is. That's what I've grown up in. But now if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. He's now a born-again Christian. So your operating system has to change. Right, let me try and explain that in a way we can understand. If you had an old computer, let's say Windows, anybody use Windows 10? There's some things if you want to use right now, that operating system has to change. Okay, so there's certain things you want to deal with, certain apps you want to deal with, certain other things you want to engage with now in 2025. That system is not going to help you. So you need to have a change of your operating system. So you have capacity to operate, but the system you're using is not relevant to the environment in which you're in at this time. And so it is with us. So we've grown up in that. So of course, you think about it, your thoughts, you know, your thinking patterns, how that informs your actions, your behavior, all of that is heavily informed by that old software. Okay, that old operating system. And so what is expected of you, the things you're now reading in scripture since you become born again, the things that are written in the law, it's kind of like quite conflicting. You're drawn in two different directions. So how do I become perfect? How do I become holy? Then you recognize that, you know, and I want to pause right here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If man did not need a savior, if man did not need to be liberated and delivered, there would have been no need for a savior to come. So there was a situation that mankind could not solve. There was an expectation of their creator they could not get to. Hence, there was a need to send a savior. All right. So once we understand that, that's why he came, to show us the way. All right. So not that we're not living, not that we're not existing, not that we're not knowledgeable about certain things, not that we didn't live our lives in particular ways, but the ways that are expected, you know, by his laws, God's expectation, that was the problem. Now, what Romans chapter 7 is telling us, now it is no longer I who does those things. I recognize that. It's that operating system, that fallen nature within myself. Okay? It says, for I know that in me, all right, my flesh, there's nothing good. So recognize that old nature and its influence. For to will is present within me. So we all have the will to do good. We all have the desire to. That's very present. Okay? But now to perform what is good, I do not find. That becomes something you're looking for. How do I do that? Okay? And anybody can bear me witness. You can promise yourself from now to tomorrow, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. And you've done it year after year after year. But hello, you're still there, still going through the same routine. What's happening? You can't keep doing the things you've been doing before and expect a different outcome. You need to recognize there's a need for a change. Now, God's word is his change agent. And so we need to understand what is communicated there, not just literally, but in a practical sense. All right. So now we carry on here. It says, for how to perform what is good, I do not find. That's verse 18. Verse 19 says, for the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not do, okay, I will not to do, that is what I practice. If anybody's honest and real, we can raise up our hands here. We see that. We recognize that. But how many times do you really do anything about it to change? You go back to your same old patterns, the same old way, and you're going to get the same old results. Simple as. All right? So now, let's look on what the Bible tells us here in verse 20. Now, if I do what I will not do, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who does it. So we need to understand that when you're in that mood, it's not you. Now, what does that mean? I'm in my boss, but it's driving itself. So it's your boss, but where are we going? Right, so somebody else is in charge of this bus. Somebody else is taking the driving seat. I'm just a passenger here. So we need to understand what's going on here. Okay? He says, I'll take that again, 20. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who does it, but sin that dwells in me. So recognize the power of sin. Recognize what sin is doing. Recognize how sin can bypass your presence and where you thought you had control. And then he goes on in 21, and this is what I want people to understand. He says, I find then a law that evil is present. Now, a law is not something you mess around with. Okay, you can't, you know, it doesn't matter your opinion, your view. We're on the sixth floor here in the studio. I can't just decide I want to go out of the window and jump out. The law of gravity will remind you that's in operation. So whatever was going on in your mind, if you didn't go through the lift, then we'll let you understand there are six floors between this floor and you understand what I'm saying? So there are laws that operate, and they're very powerful. Even if you're careless, you disregard them, they are still in operation, right? So that's a very important thing I want to just communicate to our listeners here. So I find then a law that evil is present with me, okay, and one who wills, the one who wills to do good. So there you are, willing to do good, and yet there is a law and evil is at work. Now verse 22 says, for I delight in the law of the Lord, okay, according to the inward man, which is supposed to be a desire. So this is another law, and sometimes when we read it, we don't say it. It says, for I delight in the law of God. So there's different types of laws. So there are laws that put you into doing what is contrary to the scripture. There's a law of God, which you must understand. And each of them has different expectations and different outcome. And so if we are just of the impression that, well, that's just how life is. No, you need to know there are rules, there are laws, there are principles that govern the outcomes you have. All right. 20 says, for I delight in the law of the Lord according to the inward man. So that is what your inward man should desire. Verse 23, it says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Look at that, powerful. Brings me into the law of captivity. So you are locked in this thing. How do I break out of that? And that's the big challenge here. Okay? And then verse 24 is a big cry. It says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" If we carry on like this, we know where we're going to end up, and it's death. And the question is, who will deliver me from this body of death? Now, verse 25 says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Okay, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So you need to recognize sin is, you know, it's operating within our members. That is his sphere, that is his theater, that is his preferred playground. It walks through your members. Okay, what do I mean? Your eyes, your ears, the things you want to do, your thoughts, is coming to your behavior, your habits, it's coming through all of that. Okay, but there is another aspect of you, which is your spirit man, and that's where the law of God operates from. Now, for you to ensure that you are not under, you know, the bondage and captivity of the law of sin and death, there must be engaging with the law that liberates you from that law. Okay, now let's put it this way, and this is the way it was explained to me years ago, and I've never forgotten it. It just really, really helps. If you go on to verse 8, chapter 8 of the same Romans, it's a very interesting teaching here. All right, I'm pausing to just make us understand that it's not enough to have head knowledge, mental assent, but we must understand what knowledge means as far as the scripture is concerned, how we take that in, and how we can break out from the law that causes us to sin and come into the liberation and liberty that is for the sons of God. Now, verse 8, Romans chapter 8, sorry, says in verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus," okay, "who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." So there's a clear demarcation, and it's giving a verdict. There is no condemnation to anyone that walks according to the Spirit. You're going to be condemned. You will fall under the wages. Oh, Bible says in Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and fallen short of the expectation of the glory of God because they walk according to the flesh." And that's where the enemy's playground is. Verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Again, two clear laws, right? So there's a law of the Spirit. For those that walk in the Spirit, those that are led by the Spirit, is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now that law has already made you free from the law of sin and death. Okay, so two different laws. Now let's just give an illustration. I really want to make sure we grasp this. Now I talked about laws operating, I talked about law of gravity. Man has always been under the law of gravity, okay, for donkey years, all right, and yet there are laws superior to the law of gravity. All right, now a superior law to the law of gravity is the law of aerodynamics that allows planes to take flight. All right, so you have to break the law of gravity, which is a limiting law, a lower law, operating a more superior law to be able to gain flight. You know how many years it took men to discover how to fly? So all that time they have been under the law of gravity. They were not knowledgeable about a superior law or how those laws work or how to put it to apply so that they could gain flight. All right, and until that discovery came, all right, they had to be content with other means of transport. Now today we have planes flying all over the place. Now when it was discovered, was it just created there? No, both laws had always been in operation, but it took the discovery, it took revelation, and so it is with the word of God. So we've had the law of sin and death, but God has brought a superior law, and if men understood it, there will have been no need for a savior. And so the one who understands the will of God, the mind of God, and is able to take us into holiness, into perfection, to explain these things to us so that we can, all right, become beneficiaries of the things that the law of God has promised as our inheritance, has come to show us the way. So these are a bit complicated things that are not certainly taught. A lot of people don't have a good understanding. And so if you don't apply the right law, then you're going to be getting results that may be contrary to your expectation. And like I said earlier, you can't keep doing the same old thing and expecting a different results. Okay, so there must be some knowledge, some revelation, some insight. There must be principles. There are definitely laws that we must understand, the components. How do we do what we're supposed to do so that we can, you know, have that law, what's the word, helping us to get to our expectation, our desired goals, you know, and all that kind of thing. And so when you look at components, without going to become too theoretical here, when you're working in dimension, maybe what you call two dimension, there are components, the X and Y axis, okay? When you move to a third dimension, then the third component. For anything to operate within that three-dimensional space, all the component parts must be represented. And so it is their components that make that law operate in that dimension. And so you must be, you know, acquainted with those component parts. What is it that you need to do on your own that you can take advantage, okay, of the law of the spirit, all right, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and be able to get the ascension, get the lifting, become a high flyer, and everything that the Bible prophetically has declared about you. In the same vein, if that law does exist, if those components are there, and you have knowledge, but it's not knowledge that informs you about these components or how to apply. Now, that was something we spoke about last week. Very, very important. There are people that can teach you knowledge, but if that knowledge is not pointing you in the direction of your expected end, then you're going to find that that expected end, that expected outcome, that expected goal will continue to elude you. So it is with the laws. So if we're going to be able to become, you know, the head, not the tail, become perfect, become holy, become overcomers, become those that will give expression of the glory of God, not those who have fallen short of the glory of God, those that will become vessels that can give expression to the life and the glory of God on this side of eternity, we must understand these two laws. We must understand the components. We must understand how we live our lives so that we can, all right, meet the required components and achieve our desired goals. All right, so verse 3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. So there was a law which we are all acquainted with, you know, the Bible says the Old Testament, the laws. That law was a school teacher. That law was brought in to show people their weaknesses, to show that they needed a savior, to show that there were things they were ignorant of. Okay, and so what that law could not do in just pointing out your weaknesses, all right, the Bible says, through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, excuse me, on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. And verse 4 says that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. So the new believer cannot walk according to the flesh. He cannot walk according to the dictates of the law of sin and death. He needs to understand, he needs to be led by the spirit, walk according to the superior law, okay, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And so that's so important. I know it's been a mouthful I've just pushed in these few minutes, but you know, you need to spend some time to understand what are those righteous requirements of the law, okay, right, and so that we can fulfill them and get the expected results. Verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the spirit, you know, the things of the spirit, okay. And verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And finally, verse 7, and there's a lot much more there, but I want to just limit it for now. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So when you look at the carnal man, his carnal mind, by design, it's not subject to the law of God. Okay, the components, parts of you that are required to fulfill, you know, God's law, to fall under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, are not by design to walk with your members. You need to move to the superior part of your being, which is your spirit man. You need to walk by faith. You need to know how you take in the word of God, how you be able to assimilate that by meditation, and how you get that to influence your mind. So now, we keep hearing the Bible talk about the renewal of your mind. So hitherto, your mind has been influenced by things that are not of the spirit. And so you should not be surprised that law is moving on, and the impact was that all are falling short. So there has to be a change, okay, of the operating system being led by the Spirit, so that you can produce the fruits of the Spirit. You can meet up with the things that the Scripture prophetically declares about you. It's not enough to just say, "Oh, I'm an overcomer." Da, da, da. What are you doing to become an overcomer? What do you know that you need to do? What position have you taken? What are you feeding your mind with? What are you feeding your heart with? You know, of course, when we look at a seed, you know, going back to that basic, you know, metaphor, when we say we want to get to the root of a matter, if the tree is not the tree you desired, cutting the branches and the leaves does not stop it growing. You need to deal with the root. So if the seed that was planted produced that tree that's a problem now, then we cannot address the problem by cutting so many leaves and branches. No, you need to uproot that tree and plant the right seed. And that's what we're talking about here. All right. So it's understanding that the results we're getting were like a tree we don't like. Then, you know what? Uproot that tree, find the right seed, plant the right seed, and then you get the right kind of fruits that you're looking for. May the Lord grant you understanding. I just thought I'll drop that as our little session this morning. I hope that's been helpful. Just to emphasize that bit we're looking at in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're talking about verse 13, 14, that we need to grow, we need to mature in the unity of the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and come into the maturity of the fullness of the stature of the Son of God. It's simple words, but there's a lot of connotation there, and it's not as straightforward. I see so many people, as a minister, I counsel people, and they're doing things, and well, I don't know why this, I don't know why that, but they're not aware that the things they're doing, the seeds they're sowing, is what is causing these fruits you are getting. You need to stop sowing the wrong seed. You need to have a change of heart. You need to understand the process you're going through. And if you understand the right process, you operate under the right law, the superior law, it will give you flight. It will give you an advantage in life. It will cause you to be an overcomer. It will cause you to be a barrier crosser. All right? There's something my mom used to say to me years ago, and it was just something she kept drumming and drumming, and it's such a powerful thing. It says the heights attained by great men were not attained by sudden flights. So we want to attain flights in our life. You don't attain those flights by sudden, that's a sudden event. There are certain processes, there are certain things you do. It says while their compatriots, you know, were asleep, not taking care what it was they were doing, they continued to burn the midnight oil. There's a midnight oil, there's a due diligence, there's what you need to do in the right direction with the knowledge that is right, that will take you to the expected end. And I pray the Lord give you understanding. We'll take a break now, and then we'll come back and then look, you know, some more into our teaching and try and see if we can bring it to a kind of close. It's been a long haul, but I really hope it's been very, very beneficial to you. See you on the flip side of the break.
Take your glory, take your glory, Lord of Lords. Take your glory, King of Kings. It belongs to you alone. Sing.
Take your glory, King of Kings.
Take
Of the morning, yes, welcome back. If you're just joining us, yes, you're tuning to another edition of Morning Dew, and we've just been, you know, trying to take our series a bit further in walking with the Lord. Our key scriptures, Ephesians chapter 4, we started from verse 11. Today we're just looking with greater emphasis on verse 13, you know, which means you know, maturing, you know, we're talking to coming to the unity of the faith, you know, and it means achieving spiritual maturity by becoming more like Christ in our character and our knowledge, with a great emphasis today on knowledge. Last week we talked about application, and this morning I'm just trying to emphasize the fact that in our application of knowledge, in our growing and maturing, we need to understand ourselves, what becomes our limitation, particularly the fact that we are in a fallen world, a fallen nature, sinful nature, and what that entails, and what is expected of us in having to come under the superior law of the law of the Spirit and life in Christ Jesus. Okay, and so the components, the requirements, and all of that, you know. So we're coming to the knowledge, okay, both individually and as a community. As we started in verse early parts of chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, it says, you know, he gave gifts to men for the edification of the whole body. So there's also individual growth, there's growth in the community among the different individuals. It involves unity in faith, speaking the truth in love, okay, using one another's gifts to build up, to edify, to encourage up the church until the entire body reaches these goals we were talking about. All right, and we also mentioned the fact that what does growth really entail, and it entails spiritual maturity, all right, moving from spiritual infancy to a state of strength, of wisdom, and stability. So if you're growing, there must be, you know, evidence of expansion in knowledge, evidence of expansion in your capacity, your ability, in your strength, in your wisdom, and your stability, and you're becoming more Christ-like in every aspect of your life. So these are things that can be seen. The Bible said that by their fruits you will know them. So the Spirit's leading produces fruits, okay, which might be evident. And I did mention, when we talk about knowledge, that you cannot be learning the truth and living a life that's contradictory to, you know, the things that the truth is talking about, okay. So your lifestyle must be evidence of this maturity, evidence that there's growth, evidence that you're producing these attributes in your life. We talk about unity of the faith and knowledge. Believers are meant to come together in unity, again, that we grow together, not just, you know, our belief, but in a deeper shared knowledge of the Son of God. We grow together. We're speaking the truth in love. That must be our lifestyle. This means addressing sin and error with courage. That's something some of us don't want to do. People don't want to, you know, bell the cart. People don't want to deal with the truth. But is the truth is what liberates men and must set people free. And true leaders, you know, will come to terms with the truth. You know, I did talk about the hearts of the fathers and the hearts of the children. In your trying to impact the truth, in trying to teach the truth, in trying to bring people into that posture, there's going to be tension. You know, the truth is bitter. The truth is not easy, you know. But the Bible says the Lord chastises those that he loves. So out of love, because of the love of God expressed in our hearts, we will go through tough seasons to get to our end goal, our destination. And I pray the Lord will help us to do so in Jesus' name. So we want to address errors, you know, to speak of those things that are proper. So whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report. He said, dwell on these things, teach one another, admonish one another, always in love and grace, which is the key to helping each other to mature. All right, and talks about using our spiritual gifts. The church is equipped with leaders with different gifts, like the apostles, the prophets, and pastors, and teachers, to equip all believers for service and to build up the whole body, okay, of Christ. So we can't pick and choose. You can imagine running a system where you just have pastors. What about the role and the grace of the apostle? What about the role and the grace of the evangelist? What about the role and the grace of other giftings of the teacher? They are all there to build up the entire body. Okay, so what does growth look like individually? You know, Christians should focus on developing Christ-like character, including humility. So you will see, you know, attributes like humility, okay, patience. We talk about what does growth look like. You see love, regardless of their career or their circumstances. These attributes, you know, shine through. They're fruits of the Spirit. As a community, the entire church or the body that grows together, okay, towards this goal. The process is not completed by any one person, but is a collective journey where every member is participating. All right, so in the community, everybody has their part to play. From this least to the greatest, everybody has their part to play. And for our world, the collective maturity is what gives the church a good reputation and allows it more effectively proclaim and embody the gospel to our world. And until we all attain, the Bible says, the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature manhood, okay, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Right, so then the question now is, how do we attain the measure and the fullness of the Son of God? A lot of things we've mentioned before. Attaining the fullness is achieved through maturing spiritually through faith. So again, it's by faith. The just shall live by faith. So our major ingredient of change is the Word of God. It's learning how to believe in the Word of God. It's learning how to follow through with the Word of God. It's learning how to follow the instructions of the Word of God. It's learning that we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. Now, what does that mean? And I listened to something very interesting during the week, and it's so profound, you know, about us getting to our destiny, okay, or getting to our destination. And when you look at pioneers, you know, people who are innovators, people who are inventors, people who have discovered, like I said, flight. All right, think about the Wright brothers discovering flight. These men never literally had a blueprint. They didn't have any instructions to follow. They were pioneers, right? But the thing I need all of us to understand and take home today, if you are led by the Spirit, okay, everything to do with your path is not an issue for the Spirit, okay? We're talking about the Spirit of God, all knowing, okay, all powerful, omnipresent, all present, ever present, all knowing, all powerful God. Think about all those attributes. So the things that are difficult for men, the things that may be challenging in our journey, in our, you know, walk with God, in trying to get to our destination, in achieving our destiny, okay, which the Scripture teaches, informs, and guides us, may not sometimes come with clear blueprints. You can't go to Asda or Tesco and get the blueprint. This is what you're going to do to get there. But one thing we do not lack is the leading of the Spirit. All right? That Spirit, the Bible says, has access to the will, the mind, and all of the attributes of God. So you're being led by the Spirit. So again, like I said, when we look at walking by faith, faith doesn't make sense. Faith is not logical. Faith is not rational. And so when a man is walking by faith, he's taking downloads, he's getting instructions, is receiving the whispers, the promptings of the Spirit that may not necessarily be visible, that you may not be privileged to plug into or have access, but he's being led by the Spirit all the same and will arrive at that destination. So he can be an innovator, he can be an inventor, and the Spirit is guiding him, do this, do that, and at the end he comes out with something remarkable, but he was led all through by the Spirit. Now he can produce blueprints that everybody else can follow. Am I making sense here? So the key thing is that he's tapping into a higher dimension, which is spiritual, which is what we're talking about also today. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit, they can walk, you know, in that superior law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. All right, so we're not left stranded, we're not left confused, but this is something we need to be schooled in. So how do I hear his whispers? How do I get to be led by the Spirit? How do I connect the things that are in the Scripture with walking with the Spirit, learning from the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, so that I can step into new areas, I can go where no man has gone, and know that I'm not going to be stranded, confused, or frustrated because I'm being led by the Spirit. Of course, you only know me the extent to which you walk with me. You'll only know the Spirit the extent to which you walk with the Spirit. You'll only know the Spirit and his voice and how he prompts you, how he leads you, how he speaks to you. And when you study the way the Spirit is not limited, he can speak to you in dreams, he can speak to you in trances. All right, he says, I will stand upon my watch to see what he's going to say. So I'm standing upon my watch and I'm trying to observe, but yet I'm hearing what the Spirit is saying. The complexity of the ways in which the Spirit can communicate to you, lead you, and guide you, it's a school you need to go to. It's a walk you have to have with him so that he can lead you in the way that you need to go. And so even when men do not have a blueprint, when men cannot give you an instruction manual, the Spirit is not having such supply problem. He's not having such limitations. What is impossible for men is not impossible with God. But if you will believe, the Bible says, then with you all things too can be possible. So we are the ones that have to come to the level of the higher knowledge, the level where the Spirit is, you know, the Bible talked about the Spirit that was there in the beginning with God. Think about that. Everything that's created, this Spirit was there in the beginning with God. So if you're talking about the archives of the Spirit, come on, your life, your whole lifespan, 100 years at best, is not enough to deal with a Spirit that has been leading God's people through covenant relationships for thousands of years. So, lovely people, I hope that makes sense. I really want us to really grasp that. Right, so how do we attain the measure of the fullness of Christ? All right, so we talk about spiritual maturity through faith, through the Holy Spirit. I just emphasized that greatly. And by embodying his teaching, we must engage in his teaching, which involves being filled with, you know, God's love. So everything that we do must be filled with the love of God, for God himself is love, with the knowledge of his will, okay, and righteous living. Key practices will include growing in the knowledge of God, growing in love, living obediently. All right, your provisions come because you're obedient. So for every assignment, for every vision, there's provision. But it's only as you walk in accordance with the instruction and you're being obedient that you can download the provision for that vision. Right, so seeking to know and emulate Christ, this personality, the truth, you must seek to know him. You want to emulate him. I keep asking the question, that thing you want to do, what will Jesus do? What if Jesus is behind you right now, you know, guiding you, walking with you, you know? So once we have that at the background, it kind of curtails, constrains how we behave, how we speak, how we be, you know, we live our lives. And the Lord will help us to emulate Christ, you know, and grow into, you know, the fullness of the Son of God and his stature. And standing in unity with others is so important. You know, a tree doesn't make a forest. We have to come to unity with one another, all right? And the Lord will help us to do so in Jesus' name. Unity with other believers, you know, the same way we talk about so much about revelation. I have to respect you as a child of God. I have to respect you as an expression of the attributes of God. And I have to also respect that your expression of the attributes of God may be totally different from what I'm gifted with. But then we complement one another. Bible says, can two walk together except they agree? You know, so recognize that people have different complements of the attributes of God. They're gifted and graced with different anointings, and so are you. And so once we allow that understanding, then there's no need for tension, there's no need for strife. You know, it's a continuous process of allowing Christ to grow within you, okay, rooted in faith and grounded in love. And I pray the Lord will help us to really grow in our understanding of these things, in Jesus' name. Right, so spiritual growth through faith and the Holy Spirit. Allow Christ to dwell in your heart. Allow Christ, allow the Word of God to dwell in your heart. That is the true seed. That is the tree that will bear the fruits you're looking for. It begins with faith. And it's a choice to allow Him to work in your life through submission to God's Word. Again, that thing that you want to do, who's informing that decision? Why are you doing that? Make sure it's the Word of God that's informing you. Your submission to God's Word, God's instruction. Be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit enables spiritual growth by giving what is ours in Christ. All right, so we have an inheritance in Christ. He is the one that gives to us what is our inheritance and guiding us into maturity and likeness. We cannot achieve these lofty goals, this expectation, without the work, the great work of the Spirit of God. You need to grow in your understanding of God's will, okay? Be spiritually minded rather than being carnally minded. There must be that shift to find life and peace. The Bible says, it talks about the peace of God that passes all human understanding. These are achievable if you're on the right track, if you're using all the components, and includes being filled with the knowledge of God's will and His love. Okay? Living a life according to Christ's teachings, very essential. Okay, be rooted and grounded in love. What does that mean? Take time to study that. Focus on comprehending the love of God, all right, which surpasses intellectual understanding. So there's the knowledge, okay, of the will of God. There is the wisdom that is from above that will keep you above. It's quite different from the wisdom the Bible says is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Sensual as in it walks through the flesh. May the Lord give us understanding in this realm. Lovely people, I'm looking at my time. Live righteously, okay, in obedience. Choose to live in righteousness and holiness, and disobedience hinders your spiritual growth. All right, so grow in love, grow in truth. Speaking the truth in love helps the whole body grow into Christ. You know, sometimes we have very strong opinions. I see this on social media every day, and in the course of wanting to voice our opinions, we don't care how we come across to other people. Love must always trump at the end of the day. You know, you may be dead right about your revelation, about what you know, about what has been clear, but what's the point in going to kill your brother or injure somebody else because you want to prove a point? All right, you may be dead right, you might cause death. So love needs to trump everything. Lovely people, it's been a pleasure being with you again on our session today. Until we meet again, same time on Radio Africana, it's been a pleasure being with all of you. What can I say? Stay on track, live by faith, you know, cause the Spirit to lead and guide you into all truth. And have a great Sunday, enjoy your week, and I hope you all have a lovely end of 2025 as we come into the last few weeks and months of the year 2025. God bless you all and have a great Sunday. Bye for now.
Heart could tell a story. If my life would sing a song. If I have a testimony. If I have anything at all. No one ever cared. Jesus. His faithful hand has held me out this way. And when I'm old and gray and all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known in you alone my joy was found. Oh, my joy, my joy. Let my children tell their children. Let this be their memory. That all my treasure was in heaven. And you were everything to me. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. His faithful hand has held me all this way. And when I'm old and gray and all my days are numbered on the earth, let it be known in you alone my joy was found. I found my joy. My joy was found.